I took a bite and my whole body was just like, yes, this is what I've been waiting for.
Somehow, some part of me felt like so alive. I mean,
it sounds like it's an extension of your soul, really, and an extension of the love that you have just for what you do and the people who are around you.
People just eat it in minutes. And it's a process that takes, for me, 25 years and counting.
When you can have something that is that sustaining and tastes that great, that, I mean, who can argue when there's something that magnificent on the plate?
I love my team. And it's my comfort place, the kitchen, with this group of weirdos.
After traveling, we had been traveling through South America for a month. And
whoa.
By the time we got to your kitchen and had sat down, we were just exhausted and had eaten a lot of things that our body just did not enjoy. And suddenly your food came to the table. And before I even put it into my mouth, I could feel the energy coming off of it. I could feel the love. I could feel the energy. I watched you guys back there smiling and laughing and having fun as you were making it. And then I took a bite and my whole body was just like, yes, this is what I've been waiting for. This. And
you give me goosebumps.
It's like you understood that it isn't just about putting food together. It's about the love that you put in the food, the energy you put in the food, and the way it comes together. So I just immediately wanted to know more about you. Like, what is your journey, Danny? What made you desire to say, I desire to show myself through food?
Well, I get into the kitchen, like I always say, for the window, because I work in the salon. I was a waiter one day. And in a French restaurant in here in Buenos Aires, I make the cook for the family, for the personnel, for all the staff. And the chef, the head chef, try it and say, who cooked this? And I say, I did it. He say, you want to work in the kitchen? I say, okay, I never did. I just to cook with my mom. And then the next day, I went to a place. I buy all my disguise, of my kitchen disguise, my superhero disguise. No, costume. Sorry, not disguise. Costume. Sorry, my English is rough. I buy all my costume of chef and went to the kitchen and peel a lot of potatoes. A lot, like thousands, tons of potatoes and onions and. Then I grow, make my steps inside the kitchen, inside, deeper and deeper. That was like 25 years ago. And I somehow, some part of me felt like so alive, so like it's my water to swim, like playing with knives and running with fire and. I love that. Like 3 years in the kitchen and I can imagine myself doing other things. Like I cannot be in an office or be in driving or nothing. Like my head always spin around the kitchen and how the ingredients want to mix with each other. And I'm in the middle like telling, no, not so much of you, just a little of you, and playing with them, it's like the best journey of my life in the kitchen. And that thing, it's like I'm a musician, so just have something like that. You prepare yourself with an instrument, you study, you practice and practice and practice, and then there's a chance in a song when you can improvise part. just for 1 minute, and the food is like that. You put so much. Since the moment the tomato is the seed of the tomato is on the earth, and then it's growing the plant and everything till then, onto your plate, it's like so much time and so much effort. The plant did it for give you that fruit, for give you that thing, and you take it and you try to get the best of it and put it on a plate, and the people just eat it in minutes. And it's a process that takes, for me, 25 years and counting, but like it's a lot of time, a lot of math, a lot of effort in for minutes. Just for minutes, it's like, I love that. I love that you put so much in one thing that it's like 20, 30 bites, no more. I love it.
Yeah.
Magic there.
And it is magic, especially if you take the time to honor what you just said. Like that plant took so much time to create that fruit that you then take all that time to masterfully put together. And then when I have the honor of receiving all that effort that came down the line, if I just mindlessly put it in my face, then I'm not honoring you or the plant. Right? So then I had this opportunity to feel it before I even took it in. And then to taste that, you know, when there's mindfulness on my part, then I have a great opportunity to honor all that came before. But then there's always that flip side too, where, you know, we've had many individuals who the food isn't raised well, or it's not put together with the same love you bring to the table, then, you know, you can taste that equally as well.
Of course.
Right. So, is there anything that happened? Like you had mentioned the art behind you, that's your wife's art. She's got that spark in her. Was there ever a moment where you just knew my art is food? Did it just hit, or was it just always in there for you?
I think there was always sleeping in me. I think I always have it because I always enjoy the food. I love to read, and there's books from a Mexican writer as well, a woman, it's called Laura Esquivel. She wrote a book. It's called like Water for Chocolate, or maybe the translation. It's a girl who cooks, and she is sad, and she's making food sad. And when the family eat the food, the family cries, and she's angry and cooking. And when the people that eats that food, it's angry, gets angry, and get into a fight. And it's a pretty, pretty good book, short book. I read when I was a child, a pre-adolescent, and I really love it. And I think like that was the seed in my head that grew in a plant that gave me cook, fruit cook. To the kitchens. I think that maybe because I always love to be in the kitchen. I always spend time in the kitchen with my mom. My mom was cooking. I stole things and ran eating. Like I think I always love the kitchen. I always feel comfortable in the kitchen, and being comfortable is not my speciality. I'm always like uncomfortable in like in social anxiety and those things. But in the kitchen, I feel safe with my cooks, with my team. I have like lots of teams in my career. Of course, teams that I made, I choose one by one them. Most of my kitchens are filled with weirdos. That's why we have so much fun, like you say, like that rejects, you know, people like not usually have a great curriculum, like people like it's reject from other restaurants. I take them and I try to give them a space of creation, a space where they can feel heard, they can speak freely, because I, even though I am the CDC and the chef or the boss or whatever name, they can speak freely to me. They can apport their ideas. I will listen to that and say, yes, good or no, because of this. But there's always a relationship. It doesn't matter if just it's your first job or if you have 100 years in the kitchen. We always have to learn from the people we have around us. They are around us to teach us something. Maybe we are not wide open to see it, but they are for that. They are there for that. I love that. I love my teams. And it's my comfort place, the kitchen, with this group of weirdos. Love that.
And, you know, it is something that I can honestly say, I mean, here I am. I'm traveling in a country that I hadn't been in before, Argentina. And I walk in to a place I've never been before, and I'm instantly comfortable.
Yeah.
And I can see
the fun
that you guys are having, and you desire to be part of that. And the name of your restaurant is Raise, right? And it does. It raises your vibration. It raises your mood. It raises your desire to stay there. It is such an apt name. So anybody who's traveling to Buenos Aires should definitely find you, because you're not going to feel like you're traveling somewhere. You're going to feel like you're home the moment you walk into your restaurant. Hi, I'm your host, Amber, and I am here with Austin on the Heart Leader Podcast. We are so grateful that you are tuning in to be with us. To never miss an episode, take a moment right now to click the subscribe button below and give us a like so we know we're creating content that you really enjoy.
That's our idea. That's the whole idea. You feel comfortable, you relax, and just for a few minutes or the time you want to be with us, you just have to relax and concentrate on the food, the quiet music, and the good service at the table, the chair. I don't know, just sit and chill and enjoy the food, because we are making with so much love. So much love, Amber.
Yeah.
You have no idea. We have in our lines, in our kitchen, the line is where you have all the ingredients and we're going mixing and finish the dish. We have like cherry tomatoes, for example, like lots, but lots. And we choose one by one. You. That kind of weird we are. We love it. We love it. Even though we eat the food of the staff, and in many places that I've been working, like, you don't give the staff, the good stuff, you know? You just prepare spaghetti and stuff and give it to the guy. But we're not. We prepare gourmet food for us, because we are chefs, we're cooks. So why? We can give it to the people that with whom we spend more time, even with our families. We spend a lot of time together, so we make great food for the staff and great food for everyone who comes near to us. Maybe sometimes it's the guy, the delivery guy, that comes with the tomatoes, he comes with the spinach or everything. It's the time to eat. We are serving the food. We want to stay. Sometimes the guys stay, sometimes the guys, no, I have a schedule in those, but sometimes they stay and eat with us. We always have one or two dishes extra for the random people who come by. They are not customers, of course, but we treat them like that.
And why do you do that?
I mean, if you're doing what you love to do. When you have to, I don't know, like, don't give it all the time. It makes me feel so happy, so good to choose, like I say, tomato, cherry tomato, one by one, for you, for all the people who come to the restaurant. Why can I do it for the people who work with me, the people I lay down, the people I trust, the people I want, I love those people. So it's same. I have to do it. If I don't do it, I will be lying to my coworkers. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's an extension of your soul, really, and an extension of the love that you have just for what you do and the people who are around you.
You put the pieces of your soul in everything. I don't know if pieces of your soul is the right, but energy, pieces of your energy, the energy that constantly, I'm like, another word. I'm like an electric station or something that always creating electricity. And I have this from since I was a child, with the cooks, with the recipes. I'm always changing it, always changing. Oh, no, we're not using that. We're using that now. We're not changing ingredients, changing procedures. I write, so I all the time writing. I musicians, so I'm always thinking on a song or a lyric from a song. Like my head runs very, very fast, and my body sometimes can keep it up. So I try to do it.
Now, I know one of the things that you mentioned when I talked to you in the restaurant was that if someone in the restaurant is having a bad day, not out of a disciplinary thing, just out of a desire to honor the food and the energy going into the food, you'll let them leave until the energy balances. Can you kind of talk through that? Like, what is the, as the chef de cuisine, why would you want to be down a staff member?
Because there's just a few rules in my kitchen. One of the first is never compromise the food. The food is the thing that give us this moment to be together. So we have to give 100% of your focus on what you're doing. If you can't, because I don't know, your cat die, you have a ill relative or something, you can concentrate. I don't want that energy in my plate. So from my heart, I told the guy, the staff member, go home, recover yourself. When you're whole again, when you're strong again, come back. We'll always be waiting for you. But now, today, you are not having a good time here. And if one of us is not having a good time, that can make us all have a bad time. And I don't want that. It's my comfort place, the kitchen. I want to be happy in there. And it's okay. It's not like you say, it's not a disciplinary measure. It's like a human measure, I think. It's the kind thing to do. If you're not okay, if you're not good, go home, recover, go or home or whatever you want, but don't be where you don't want to be because of obligation or payment. I won't discount the day. I won't cut the hours. You made it here. I'm telling you to go. So I would pay you anyway, but don't mess with my food in a friendly kind of way, no?
Yeah.
But yes, it's a rule. It's a rule I had like 10 years ago or something. Many, many times I have to do it. I have to get a cook and take her out from a side of the kitchen and say, look, you're not good. You're a great cooker and you're not fulfilling your destiny. You are off battery. So go and recharge and come back when they're ready. We'll be here. There will be another customer. There will be more food to cook. So go, man. Go in peace and come back when you're ready. I think it's a great rule. I don't know. I'm proud of it. I feel proud of it. Sometimes it's hard because we have like a lot of customers, lots of work, and two hands are a lot inside the kitchen. But the team understand that because one of those days, any of us could be that guy that's not having a good time. And when we or when I be that guy, I would love my boss to say to me, go and fix your stuff and come back when you're ready. I would love to someone say that to me. And I respect that guy, and when I come back, I will back with more strength and more love for the thing I do. And that's the important thing. And I noticed in every one of the guys I send home, when they came back, they come back like, they want to eat the world, they want to do more, they want to help their friends, they want the co-workers, they want to clean harder, they want to organize better, they want to rotulate better, they want everything, because the kitchen, it's a very hostile environment in general. And my kitchens, I think they always be like an island in that chaos that is around the kitchens. It's like an island. And when you get to my shore, you will never want to leave.
And that's a good thing to hear, because yes, I have heard of the other. Kitchen can be a very challenging place, a very stressful place. And that's not what I witnessed in your kitchen. So can you tell us about...
I grew up in a French.
Oh.
Sorry.
No, please. Yeah. French kitchen?
French kitchen. So you're working and you're with a guy screaming from one part of the kitchen, another guy whispering to you, you're not good. You're not good. You will never be good. That's what you call a Bruno Noir court. That's not Brunois. And all the time, like years of that. And always thinking, I love to cook. When I get to the head chef for the kitchen, it will never be like this. I will never be like this. It took me a long road. It was a long road, but I think I am a good chef. Chef being boss. I think I'm a good boss person. I'm like shoulder to shoulder with my guys, like my team. And I always been a weird. I always be a weirdo. And the weirdos, and I see how, and I was, the thing is like in the kitchen, I always be a weirdo, but I am a shy weirdo. So I'm sad. I don't speak. I don't show my weirdness to the guy. So I think that's why I survived this long. In the other case, that I see how the weirdos being treated in the kitchen. And I never like that. I say, that guy's just like me. Think what I'm thinking. So that guy deserves an opportunity. That guy, maybe her comfort place is the kitchen. So that's why I get these kitchens from the last 10 or 15 years. All my kitchens are filled with weirdos. And then when I leave the kitchen and go to other place and start a new process, because I love that. I love I take a place that is going down and raise them and make the people happy and the people make the staff wake up in the morning and say, well, I have to go to work, and not say, oh, got to go to work. You know what I mean? That thing is what I love to do in the staff. Like 10 or 15 years ago, I started with this thing of recruit all the weirdos. And I love it. I have so much fun. So much fun.
And that's a beautiful thing because then others feel it. And I love the quote from Steve Jobs. It was a commercial, I think. Here's to the crazy ones, the square
Yeah.
pegs and the round holes, because we are the ones that change the world, right?
Of course.
And so you are just out changing the culinary world.
It's a hard war, it's a hard battle. Of course it is, but I'm doing it a smile, so bring it on.
Yes. So, Danny Pardo, if somebody was looking to help you in that journey and they wanted to find you, to eat at your restaurant, to get to know more about you, how would they do that? We know that you're shy, so you're not going to be out there doing a lot of these types of discussions. But if
I
they
don't think
wanted
so.
to, so I'm very honored,
Yeah,
number one, that I got to have this talk with you. But if they wanted to learn more about Ray's or to eat there or to just know about your cooking, how could they do that?
well, they can find me in my Instagram. I have one just now. It's Fire Living Me, all in one word. It's my Instagram. I will put there my food. I don't know what else because I'm brand new in Instagram, even though we are 2024. I'm brand new in Instagram, so they can get me there. They can write me an email, Danny Sofelis, email.
Okay.
Don't know. Just come to Race. We're in Buenos Aires. We're one of the greatest vegan restaurants in this great city, in this great world. So I'm here. Sometimes I'm at day, some days I'm at night. All this week I'll be at night. It's so fun, the night. The night is so fun. I love it. But the day have this chill movement. It's like more relaxing, everything. Everything is like going through, I don't know, like a tube. It's like going so smoothly. And the night is more crazy because there are more, lot more people. I love the boat shift. But well, no
Yeah.
one recognized me but the hair. And I don't know.
I it. And yes, from what we learned, Buenos Aires is very focused on meat. And so the fact that you have such a solid vegan restaurant, that is noteworthy as well.
No, Amber, if I told you, we are like the first country importing horse meat. Horse meat, such a beautiful animal. We're the first, for, like, we kill like so many horses by minutes, cows, chickens. Oh, man. Oh man, don't want to talk about that because that made me so angry.
Yeah,
But
wow. That's a side
yeah, so
discussion.
the Argentinian guy, if you don't put meat in your plate, they don't know they are eating. And so they say, "Where's the food?" They talk to me more of once, "Where's the food?" Because there is no dead animal in the plate. I say, "Dude, shut up and eat." And then I change the mind, but man. Come on.
But part of that is the cooking that you're creating that is helping that awareness. So when you can have something that is that sustaining and tastes that great, that, I mean, who can argue when there's something that magnificent on the plate? So I just have to give commendation where commendation is due. I know here in my country, it's been, individuals are willing to test it out, but vegan and vegetarian restaurants have had their own difficult plight. But here you are, chef de cuisine at a vegetarian vegan restaurant in a city that prides itself on meat. And you are making strides. So here's to the crazy ones, right?
It's for the crazy one.
Yeah.
We're taking the world. Kitchen by
Yes.
kitchen, we take the world.
Exactly. And I will give a firsthand testament to how amazing the food was. It really was. So thank you
Many
for
thanks.
allowing me to take part in it.
I'm so thankful. Thank you, Amber.
Absolutely. And to all the individuals that are in all the countries who are watching us, I know you travel. So if you do find yourself in Buenos Aires, find Danny. He is definitely worth meeting and tasting his food. It is incredible. And Danny, thank you for agreeing to be on this podcast. Again, I know it's interesting. Some random woman walks up to you in your restaurant and is like, I love your food. I love your vibe. Will you be on my podcast?
Tell you, I love the weird. I love the weirdo. So,
I fit
you're
that
the
category.
hot man. The crazy ones, like you said.
Exactly. Well, I am sure we will stay in touch, but I'm going to sign off of the podcast for now, and we'll make sure that everybody has an opportunity to find your restaurant, find your Instagram, and if you're open to it, we can even put your email out there so that they can get a hold
It's
of you if
okay.
they'd like.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, perfect. Well, hold on one second. I'm just going to stop our video here and we
Okay.
can keep chatting.